Well, hey there, boys and girls. This is Fish and Frank in the chair, and welcome to another Radio Fishing. And we've got Captain Andrew on the line, and I'm going to let Andrew introduce himself and his charter business and all that other stuff. He's been on the show before, but, you know, you've been out in the water a lot here, Andrew. What's been going on?
Oh, you know, it's getting to be that time of year where we're all getting that silver addiction. We've mostly been out chasing tarpon, happening across a lot of sharks in the meantime, which, you know, is a terrible bycatch.
Oh, yeah. You're so distressed when you have to catch sharks, right?
I know, especially now the big girls are starting to show up and we're getting the 12, 13-foot hammers buzzing the boat.
Now, I've been hearing a lot about them big hammerheads out there. It's been pretty amazing for as far as you get to, you're out there tarpon fishing and these big, you know, 10, 12, 18-foot hammerheads start cruising by.
Yeah, it's insane. We were out yesterday, and we're working a decent school of tarpon, and as we're pulling up, we see a hammerhead eating a tarpon, which, you know, I mean, it's one of the coolest things you'll ever see, but it's nothing out of the ordinary. Well, she proceeded to just cruise all of the boats and just stay outside of the school, just waiting for one of them fish to get hooked, and then eventually a couple more, you know, 400 or 500-pound bull sharks came in with her. And, you know, these sharks, they pattern. They know what everybody's there doing, and they know what's easier than trying to fair chase a tarpon, that's for sure.
So, when I've been out there and I've seen the hammerheads move in, I watch even a modest-sized hammerhead and the bigger bull sharks will just back off. It's like the Lord of the Sea when they show up.
Yeah, it's pretty strange to see, especially considering you think of a bull shark, and I don't know, in my opinion, I guess they never got the memo, but I think a bull shark could take a hammer twice its size just because of its pure aggressiveness and size of its head, but I don't know.
They
have to live in that world. We just watch it.
I mean, you know, you wouldn't think a hammerhead would be that intimidating to a bull shark, but they give them a big berth. I mean, you're sitting there looking at these massively shouldered bull sharks, and they're, you know, 8 foot long and 400 pounds, and here comes a hammerhead that's, you know, maybe the same size, maybe not even any bigger, and it's just like a parting of the seas. It's like, yes, my lord, you may pass. Sorry to be in your way.
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't understand it. We were off the beach that morning, and we had a bunch of big bull sharks we were marking on the side scan, and they blew out, and no big deal. But we look up, and there's this, I'll call it tiny because of the normal size hammerheads we have right now. You know, an 8, 9 foot hammerhead comes blowing by the boat, and that, all I can think of is that hammer came in, and those bulls didn't want anything to do with it. It's just crazy. It's honestly a little frustrating because the hammers are so hard to hook, and you know the bull sharks are going to eat. But, I mean, just to be able to witness it is one of the coolest things you'll ever see.
All right. Well, let's take a moment back and go back. And what's the name of your charters?
Big Bully Outdoors.
All right. And I'm assuming that's the website as well, or is there a website or the Facebook page, or what is there?
There's a website, there's a Facebook page, the whole deal, BigBullyOutdoors.com, Big Bully Outdoors on Facebook.
Okay, because, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and find your, I know your Facebook page, I haven't been to the website, so I'm going to go there while you're describing. What's the fishing been like here over the last week?
The fishing got a little tough because of our full moon, but every day that we get further away from it, the fish are getting more charged up, and we're seeing multiple hookups on the tarpon, the snook bites going off. Pretty much everything's just getting charged up. The bait's doing what it's supposed to be doing. The sharks are coming in thick right behind the tarpon. For once, everything's kind of falling in line the way it's supposed to. So it's nice to see everything patterning back the way it should be, I guess we could say. Again,
so
the Like I said, the sharks are staying right outside of the tarpon if you're targeting sharks.
Now, are you doing any flats fishing lately?
I have been. With the wind that we had, you know, the last 4 months up until the last few days, you didn't have much of a choice. So we've been hitting canals and flats pretty regularly. You can't go wrong with white bait. I mean, you know, especially the juvie snook, there's a ton of them out there, which is a great sign. And the bigger fish seem to be staying in the canals, the bigger snook, but there's a pile of them in there.
Now, working on the flats, have you been finding them more out by the mangroves or more out by the bars?
The snook have been staying a little bit more up under the cover, up under the trees. The reds seem to push out into that little trough that we all, you know, like to keep the boat in. So it's kind of, you have to be super stealthy. And then the trout, as everybody knows, are staying on the, you know, right on the outside of the bar to on top of the bar. And I mean, there's trout everywhere out there, which is all you just reported. You can't get away from them if you try.
Really? So what are you hitting the trout on?
Anything artificial, strangely. If we get sick of catching on whitebait, I'll switch over to a gulp or a flare, just a stick bait, and fish in that deeper water, and they just hammer it. I haven't really been trying to target them on top water too much, just because normally by the time I'm fishing them, it's later in the day. It's not that kind of, you know, optimum conditions you're looking for.
Well, I like late in the day top waters. I mean, to me, it's a lot of fun. I mean, you know, once that sun's going down a little bit, I can get, you know, they're not worrying about the sunlight in their eyes, and they come up and hit the top water pretty readily. But we all have our, you know, we all have our own things, but I'm such a top water fanatic anyway, so.
Oh, I am too. I'd rather throw a top water all day and catch two fish just to watch them eat.
Yeah,
but yeah, when I was saying later in the day, I was meaning like, you know, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Obviously, at first light and last light, there's no bait in the world I'd rather be throwing.
At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, yeah, it's not, there isn't much of, we haven't done enough of these shows together yet to, you know, figure out our talk, but to me, late in the day is late, and to me, that's middle of the day, but I'm usually, to be quite honest, I like leaving the water right now about 1 o'clock, and I don't want to go back out until maybe 5:30, close to 6. I don't like being on the water between 2 and 5. I want to be sitting in the AC with a drink.
Yeah, I don't blame you at all. And believe me, you know, the fish feel the same way.
Yeah,
they get tired of getting picked on, and they get tired of being hot, and they dig down until that sun gets a little lower, and then they come back out.
Yeah, to me, that's just the way I've always liked to do it. But I used to do a lot of late day charters because it was, everybody else was back at the dock.
Yep.
And just, I'd have the 3:30, 4:30 in the afternoon, I'd have most of the harbor to myself. You know, it was great.
Like working the night shift.
Yeah, yeah, it really
was. Keep the world to yourself.
And, you know, it was wonderful being out there. I was just looking on your website, your 13-foot, 7-inch hammerhead.
Yeah, the big girl.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that was an interesting evening. And I tell you what, I've seen two so far this year that give her a run for her money already.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, the size of fish we have coming in right now, especially they're already getting into the harbor, is just, it's crazy.
I'll be darned. So,
it's a great thing to see.
Anyway, what's the average charter you're doing right now? Pretty much tarpon with a side of shark?
Yeah, we're primarily doing shark and goliath right now, honestly.
Really?
Yeah, obviously, you know, we've been chasing tarpon and everybody's chasing tarpon, but we got a lot of people that are mainly interested in the sharks just because I think a lot of them have done the tarpon already, and I'm guessing have seen the giant hammers eat them and the giant bull sharks eat them and want to feel what it's like to be hooked up to a truck. and thrown off the side of the boat.
Well, so, you know, there is something to be said for, okay, I fought that fish. Now let me fight what eats him. You know, I want what uses him for breakfast. You know?
You got to work your way up the food chain.
Yeah. So, how's the Goliath bite right now?
Really, it's been really good. It slowed down there for a while. I don't know if it was the fronts or the wind. If people don't think that, you know, the wind and stuff would disturb the Goliath because they stay down deep. But they're like any other fish. They'll just turn off when it gets nasty out there. And it's just starting to pick back up again. And it's been great.
All right. So, let's go over what kind of tackle are you using for that?
For the Goliath, I'm using 400-pound mainline, which is actually leader. Just straight leader on a 50-wide Avid to a 20-yard circle hook.
All right. And what seems to be the best bait right now?
A big live ray.
Big stingray, huh?
Yeah. Well, I shouldn't say big. Dinner plate size. Plate size.
Okay, yeah. So you're talking about 12, 14 inches. I actually bought some frozen. We have some in stock now, frozen stingrays and stuff.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, I got a shipment of them in. I found somebody who's actually carrying the frozen stingrays and skates, so I actually have got some of those in now. I always wanted to try one of those big squid wings on them and see what that would do with it, because it looks just like a stingray, you know.
Oh, I'll bet you they need it. I actually picked up a pack of hoagie flounders from the shop, and I want to put one of those down when they're all charged up and see if they'll eat that.
I don't see why not. Those, you know, it's one of the hoagies we're putting back in stock. I got a bunch of the rigged hoagies with the tandem rigs and the jig heads and all that because of the cobia that were around. But that flounder one, I've been really thinking about doing another order of them because they're such a cool looking bait. You know?
Oh, you can't tell me that wouldn't look like a ray wing just flapping around in that heavy current. Oh.
But they didn't sell well. You know, I think they catch fish, but they don't really catch many fishermen.
Right. Right. Well, you know, it's pretty limited market on that flounder lure. Hoagies, the regular hoagies, just about anything large will eat them. But we don't usually use flounder as bait here. But I'm willing to bet a tarpon would eat it. I mean, I've had tarpon eat shark baits.
Oh, yeah.
Down to stingrays, and they'll eat anything.
So, all right, just kind of getting into this. So, let's see, today's Friday, tomorrow's Saturday. A guy's going to go out and go fishing. What's your best advice for him to have some fun with? Just whatever fish, either small or big. Where would you send the average angler out just to go out and have a good time?
A nice relaxing weekend. I would say come in, load up on some good-sized shrimp. Get some Rockport Rattler jig heads and work those bushes. I mean, the redfish are still in there.
East side, west side?
I've been fishing the west side a lot, but I know the east side's been pretty hot. It's just easier for me to get in behind the bar with my boat on the west side.
Yeah, I love your boat. I like that Epic. That's really an amazingly dry boat, amazing ride. That's a great boat.
I appreciate it, yeah, we're a big fan of it, and it goes a lot skinnier than it looks.
Oh, no, I mean, when I looked at it, you know, there's a difference between what I would do a tournament boat and a boat that I would like to ride in if I was a client on a charter.
Absolutely.
And your boat, it doesn't beat you up. It's such a beautiful ride. It's an amazing boat to get from A to B with, but on that west side, there's been all those little creeks, and you really got to kind of work for it, don't you? I mean, they're not in all of them, but they are in some of them, and you just got to kind of keep looking.
Yeah, the big thing on the creeks is patience, you know? You got to be there when the water's moving, and then especially if you're targeting, you want to target the bigger redfish, you got to sit. It's a waiting game. You got to have, I like to put a smelly cut bait out for the bigger fish, and just kind of leave it, sit there, let them sniff it out. I mean, obviously, if you want to do a little more fast pace, you can just fish your shrimp and give it a twitch every now and then. And normally what we'll do is, if I'm not getting anything in 15 minutes, is I'll move 20 feet, and then I'll put the sticket back in, and I'll try there. And, you know, it's nice and quiet on either of the walls, right now, and it'd just be awesome for the weekend. So the tarpon fishing on the weekend is nuts, you know.
Yeah, there's so many boats out there, and a lot of people driving by to see what they're doing, and everybody yelling, and
Yeah,
it gets to be quite the thing. One of the things I'm going to do this season is a lot of experimentation on trolling for tarpon. That's my goal this year, is to literally perfect the lure and the trolling method so that I can do some trolling and catch tarpon with it. I had a lure years ago that was great, but they don't make it anymore. They quit making it about 15 years ago. And so now I've got to find out of the readily available stuff and see what I can do to actually, you know, be pretty consistent on the tarpon with a trolling technique.
That's one of the best, that's one of the most fun ways to do it, because you know when that fish eats, it's not finicky, it's angry. It wants to kill that bait when it eats the trolling bait. so you don't hook a finicky fish like you do in the past. You know you're hooking an angry fish that wants to do you harm, and you better hold on. That's one of my favorite ways to catch tarpon.
Yeah, I remember, I don't need quite as much line when I'm tarpon fishing, but if I'm, casting at the tarpon, but if I'm trolling, I really want to have about 300 yards of line on that reel, because I'm going to lose, between the time he hits and I can get to the rod, I've lost 75 to 100 yards, and then by the time you get everything set and start fighting the next bit of fight, you're going to lose another 100 yards. That fish is going to be 200 yards away from you in the first few, couple of minutes. And so I like having 300 just for that. You could probably get away with two, but I think you'd see the bottom of your spool a lot.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with liking a security blanket. That's how I am.
Yeah, so if I'm going trolling, I usually if I'm going to use 50-pound test, I'll go with like a 6,000 or 65. But for trolling, I might jump up to the 8,500 and go to 65 and get enough on there.
Yeah, because you're not going to you don't have to worry about sacrificing casting ability. So you might as well beef it up, and because you know what you're going to be in for, especially coming up. All our residents are starting to spill out into the big water. All these canal fish, river fish, and those river fish are big, ugly, and mean. They're thick.
I like fighting the ones that live here all year, because now when they go out to meet and greet with the new ones, it's like they haven't seen them in a long time. They're all excited, and they're just, it's all going crazy. But from what I'm hearing, crabs seem to be the number one bait right now. Threadfin's pushing a close second, but kind of depending where you are. And it's been real weird with the tarpon. You got this amount of time with the crabs, and then you go and you switch from the beach and you come around inside and they might want the threadfins. Or if you're hitting them on threadfins inside, you go out to the beach, they might want crabs. It's almost like you got to have the kitchen sink with you.
Yeah, and the beach fish and the fish south of us are eating just things you would never expect them to eat. We've been jumping them on shark baits, like I said, like chunks of mullet on wire and ladyfish, and I guess if you're not targeting them, is usually when you do the best fishing for something.
Oh yeah, Norman Day used to cuss tarpon every year. We used to have that big shark and catfish tournament and hundreds of people in it. And Norm used to do real well, but he would fish nighttime on the intercoastal out by Placida. And he would go through 6+ tarpon a night trying to catch catfish on big chunks of dead mullet. And he hated tarpon, absolutely hated him, because he was trying to catch catfish.
That bycatch thing again.
Yeah. And it was all, like you say, big leaders, big chunks of dead bait. But, it goes along with what I tell people. Every creature on the planet prefers decayed meat. Humans, everybody. We call it hanging the meat, and the best meats are the ones that hang for, a week, 2 weeks or something before they process it. And for as far as humans go. And animals, I think, are the same way. I mean, if you let the fish get just a little bit nasty, I think it actually increases your odds.
Yeah, and not only that, I mean, we don't have to chase our food to survive. So, I think they have a hard time passing up an easy meal. And that goes to show with the Sharks, too. They don't... I watched one of those big hammers circle a live ray that a guy had out. He was trying to hook her, and she circled it three times. You know why she didn't want anything to do with it? She just went right back to circling the hook. They want an easy meal. They don't want to have to work for it. Their survival depends on it, you know?
Well, they were born in the U.S. and feel entitled to the food.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm bad. I'm sorry. I apologize to everybody who's young people. Some are very good. God, where did that come from? Anyway, going back out, so your best bet is do a little flats fishing this weekend, kind of avoid the middle harbor thing, and get back on the tarpon and sharks Monday, you know, during the week when there's a little bit less stuff. But if, let's say you've only got the weekend, because a lot of people, you know, the weekend is their time to go fishing. I'm going to call either the mouth of Mica River or maybe the 20-foot hole or middle hole for as far as tarpon fishing to avoid the congestion on the hill or in the pass. And
yeah,
I think they have a good shot there.
There's a huge resident population that lives in the Mayaca, and you really can't go wrong with the mouth of it because the cutoff's right there. So, I mean, you might get into some more pesky bycatch and catch your... offhand cobia or giant snook on your tarpon bait, but you just have to suffer through it, and I think you'd have a really good chance there. And then, like you said, the deeper holes, now that the tarpon are really flushing in, I'm assuming they have to be stacking up in the holes. I haven't been out there this week, but I gotta imagine they're starting to pile in there already, especially if our residents are flushing out.
Oh yeah, I've had really good reports about the middle of the harbor. They're not seeing the fish, but they are catching the fish. And the visuals are better. If you really want to see a lot of tarpon, get out to Boca Grande Pass or inside on the hill or out along the beach, and the visuals are spectacular. I mean, just seeing a school of 200, you know, fish go by that are all 100, 200 pounds and just watching it is breathtaking. But you're not going to see so many of the fish up in the harbor as much, but the catching is actually pretty good. The fishing's better out there, but the catching, I think, is going to be a little better up in the dark water for if you're not that experienced in the tarpon, you know, and you don't have all the electric motors and all the rest of the stuff, you just want to drift.
Yeah, and a lot of times that can be a lot more productive. And you get to see all the visual stuff, you just got to put a hook in them.
There you go.
They'll come rocket right out of the water just like they will anywhere else.
And they'll show off all that big white and silver shiny stuff for you.
Absolutely.
Well, anything else we should go over there, Mr. Captain Andrew? I gotta get used to Captain Andrew. You know?
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it's different, isn't it?
So still a lot of crews out there on the near shores. If you just want to go out and screw around and have a blast, speaking of visual fish.
What is there now?
A lot of crews out on the near shores right now.
Ah, you mean out by, like, Novak, Tremblay, Mary's, Power Pole?
Yeah. And that's fun if you're not into the bottom fish. I'm not really into bottom fishing myself, because you can just cruise around, spend a few minutes. If you don't see them, they're not there. And you just move on to the next place, and we've had a lot of luck with the pink cubes all of a sudden.
So you're using the Cuda tubes, the pink ones. Now, when you see the Barracuda, you casting past them or letting it drift down into them or working it through them? What are you doing?
Initially, I'll pull up and we'll start casting past them and just reel as fast as you can through them. If we can't get them to play that way, I'll throw two colors off the back and just troll around, do circles around the reef. I don't even look for them. I just troll because they'll find it. To be honest with you right now, I don't know if they've been getting pressured a lot, but the cudas are more afraid of the trolling motors than they are the big motors. They'll come right up, they'll sit right under the boat when you're running your big motor, but they will not come near you when you're on the trolling motor.
So, now, are you waiting the cuda tubes to get them down, or just running them straight?
I'm just running them with a little tiny egg sinker that comes in them.
Okay, now...
I'm not even sure what size it is, to be honest.
How far back are you?
I'll run one about 100 feet, and I'll run one just outside of my prop wash.
So one close and one out, one just past the prop wash and one out.
One out a little further.
Quite a bit further, yeah. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, I appreciate all the information. Thank you for doing radio fishing. We'll be talking to you regularly, I hope. And if you'd like to get out with Andrew and go out and do some fishing for barracuda or redfish or snook or shark or tarpon or whatever, just click the Big Bully Outdoors logo right next to this broadcast, and that'll take you right to Andrew's website, all right there on fishandfranks.com. Click that, takes you right to Big Bully Outdoors. And I really appreciate it, Andrew. Anything else you want to talk about before we wrap it up?
I think that's about it.
All right.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. Hope everybody has a good weekend out there. Tight lines and be safe.
Well, anyway, this is Fish and Frank in the chair, and on the phone with us is Captain Andrew. How do you say your last name, Andrew?
Herzog.
That's what I thought, but I didn't want to mispronounce anything. I can cause enough trouble for myself without help from myself. So, anyway, just click Andrew's logo here, and you can get out. And do you have any time coming up? I forgot to ask you. You got a couple open days left?
Yeah. I still have, probably 10 open days this month, and I got a bunch open next month, yeah.
All right.
So,
well, for a new captain, that's pretty good. So, anyway, click that, get a hold of Andrew, get out, go fishing, and enjoy the beautiful Florida weather, because it has been beautiful. Fishing Frank here saying thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys later.